Hi, and welcome to another edition of Visions. This edition, we will focus on a young man of the Bahamas as we recognize the United Nations International Day of Persons with Disability, celebrated, commemorated, acknowledged on December 3rd of each year. So, as we get ready to reflect about disability, where it is, where it was, and where we would like it to be, I am really pleased to chat with Tongsley Roberts out of the Bahamas. Welcome to the program, Tongsley.
Thank you, Malashbi, and hi, Barbados.
So let us start by you telling us a little about yourself.
Well, my name is Tongsley Roberts, as you just heard. I was born on a really small island, about 3 miles long and about a mile wide, where at the age of five, two women had a fight, and the fight spilled away into my grandmother's yard, where me and some classmates were playing. I threw a jar from the garbage, and the other lady, but the jar hit me on the back of my left knee, and they got infected with gangrene. So they had to rush me to Jacksonville, Maryland, Miami. They tried to save it, but as you know, with gangrene, if you don't get it in time, you get to your heart, you're dead. So they made a decision that they had to amputate my left leg at the knee. So I spent about 6 months in the hospital, and that was basically the beginning of things to come, because that was the point where my mother learned that she shouldn't treat me any different than any other person. And I think that understanding that she got helped me to develop the level I am today. You know, I think many times parents try with their children, able or disabled, try to prevent them from having a feeling of pain or any hurt, or to avoid challenges as much as possible. But I realize we learn from failure, not from actually succeeding. We learn much more from failure than actually succeeding. So my mom allowed me to do whatever everyone was doing, to fall down, to, you know, damage sometimes and get cut from bruises. But it built my character. It also allowed me to understand nothing can help me except myself.
Well, to say thank you to your mother for allowing you to do what John Maxwell, the author, generally talks about, failing forward. So even though you may fail at something, as we use that term, you are growing and developing from that failure. You're learning the lessons and know what to do. So we really want to thank your mother and your siblings for the level of support they gave you to live a normal life.
She was a driving support there, but I had most of my teachers went to all-age schools. Most of my teachers were actually from foreign countries, including other countries in the Caribbean, Jamaica, Guyana, other places, Canada, United Kingdom, America. They came from countries that are a bit more advanced than Caribbean. So they were used to seeing persons with disabilities advancing, you know, trying to become more, to do more. So they didn't allow me to compete. They made me participate in all physical education classes. I mean, I had to play basketball, softball, soccer, with my prosthetic leg, all without. So I wasn't able to use that as an excuse. So they made me like every student. I couldn't slack off. And I'm grateful to them also, because I found that at the time, many of my Bahamian teachers were less inclined to, because they saw me through the eyes of pity. They wanted, you know, oh, I understand you can't do this. You can, you know, you can sit beside and just watch or whatever. But those other teachers didn't allow it. So I had to participate in many things, including take part in the night league, sporting league on the island, where... I was involved with the physical, you know, a part of the competition, or several times I actually officiated games, so they kept me involved. And I even traveled with my high school basketball and softball team as far as Canada.
Okay.
So I played a position as assistant coach for the high school team.
Nice. So do you wear a prosthetic leg?
As a kid, I wore it every day at the school. And I must be honest, I am not a true fan of my prosthetic limb. Like I said, I am a knee amputee, which means my prosthetic limb hits my socket that I fit into, comes up to my hip and my groin.
Right.
And it can be amazing, especially back then when I became amputee, when the technology was as it is now. But I do have a modern leg now, a modern day leg that I wear sometimes. Anytime I just wore it, just depends on occasion. But I realized over the years, especially when I became involved in disability advocacy, that many persons with disabilities, they had a problem seeing mostly persons representing them or heading organizations that didn't have a disability. So
right.
It became, a political statement anytime to just use my crutches in public events, especially with disability related, because they could see I am indeed one of them. You know what I'm saying? I think with nothing for us, a lot of...
So right, nothing about us.
I think it kind of benefits the fight. So it justified me not wearing my prosthetic limb, which is not something my mother's happy with. She likes me to wear it. It's expensive. I'm a funny question.
So what would you say have inspired you to become involved with the disability movement?
Interesting. I'm going to talk about my mom and allow me to develop and, you know, teach me independence, because one of the things that we have to focus on as persons with disabilities is the independence gives us strength and allows us to be able to survive. My mom always said to me that you may never marry, you may never, you know, be alone, you know, do these things yourself, could go to the grocery store, whatever it is you need to do. So I became, I guess, ultra independent. And I have some friends who, particularly one friend, Mr. Darren Butler, whose dad lost his leg to diabetes and then eventually became blind. And he was eventually became a part of the National Council for Disabilities, the Bahamas National Council for Disabilities, which is the umbrella organization, Disability in the Bahamas.
Right.
And he's an ID person who's trying to help them with their presence online.
Okay.
And he brought me in. And that's how I got involved. He brought me in, and then I eventually became, within 2 years, I became president of the organization, because I guess they thought, the president of the organization began to gravitate towards me. Some people thought I was, I guess, well-developed. And it probably was because of traveling also, because I spent many summers of my life in Shriners Hospital system, one in Chicago, which is afforded to me to travel there by a organization that I sit on the board today. It is called Physically Challenged Swimming Committee. They were responsible for paying for most of my prosthetic limbs as a child and paying for traveling. This hospital system was a really great experience. And it opened my eyes to sport, to be played basketball and wheelchairs and different sporting activities. It allowed us to become who we wanted. It wasn't about our disability. It was about our ability. And I saw many persons similar to me that were doing great things. So I think that kind of gave me a leap forward to understand that if they can do it, I can do it too.
Wonderful.
Being the Caribbean, I think sometimes we are limited to what we can get, so we can experience.
Mm-hmm.
And personal experience is better than anything else. And I also credit that to help me move forward. So when my friend, Mr. Butler, got me involved and got trusted into the front, so to speak.
Okay.
And then at the same time, when I was president of the National Council, the umbrella organization, the government at the time was pushing for legislation for persons with disabilities. So I became a part of the board and the grouping that actually helped to eventually
frame that.
The framework is currently our Persons with Disability Equal Opportunities Act 2014.
Right. So what was your experience like as president of the National Council for the Disabled?
It is challenging. And it is challenging because I think many times I realize a lot of the persons already have the attitude that nothing is going to happen to them, that it's going to better their life, or that they can look forward to nothing else better. And I think because they've been so long only listening to the negativity, and it's so long, unfortunately, that they don't have the support, true support system from their family members that they should have. Okay. I think it limits the outcome. So they don't think more can happen. And the reality is, for us to get what we want to get, it has to be a push from those who are members of our organization. Even without having legislation, even without having a commission, I have, like you mentioned, I sit on the commission, the National Commission for Disabilities, my second executive term. But everything, the driving force must be from the grassroots, from the community. Legislation dictates that members of the community, the person with disability, have to be members of the commission. But even there, we don't have all the answers or even understand all the challenges with disability because each of us are different. So I've been, my personal thing has been fighting for them to understand they must tell us what they need. And that came from being president of the council, that I realized it's a real challenge. We have persons who are not even children, adults, who are in some cases over 9 years. And I didn't understand that until I became president, that there's so many persons with disabilities in this country that have suicidal tendencies because life is tough for them. And when they start calling me and telling me about their problems and the things that are happening, it was really a real high eye-opener, I think, and that's what kept me involved in this day. Because, like I said, the challenges can sometimes make it harder for you even to want to stay involved, because sometimes we don't like to hear it. Sometimes persons with disabilities are their own worst enemy.
Well, that is a statement that I know some people make, and some people with disabilities feel very uncomfortable about it. But I believe very strongly that we ought to have goals and national issues that can help to unite us and focus more on the issues and how we can contribute to either solving or creating a new pathway, a new direction, enhancing existing programs, so that we really can build that strong bond and work together. And that's critical for our development.
And I think this is why commissioning, and this is why, after listening to your presentation at one of our commission meetings, why the commission brought you in to do a town hall meeting with us, because one of the challenges I saw as president, and currently in some situations still exist, most of our NGOs are more social clubs than issue-driven. And
because
I think the purpose, because, yes, I understand members want socialization because many of them get stuck at home and nobody thinks they can do anything other than stay at home. We need to end the push for our rights. So we do have the opportunities to help drive our own country forward. And you know, the Caribbean, the world, end of the day, but we need to realize that we have something to offer. And if they give us the opportunity, we can do it.
Definitely, definitely. I think very strongly that we, as individuals with disabilities, will refer pretty often to U.S. and Canada and the U.K. in terms of how they have developed. And they often point out that people with disabilities, particularly in the U.S., would have blocked major highways, lay down on the streets, their wheelchairs overturned. Some of them were arrested. They were prepared to go the full length and be radical in order to achieve some of the goals. They had sit-ins. They, you know, challenged their senators in the Caribbean. We do not challenge our politicians in the Caribbean.
Exactly.
We are a bit fearful of speaking out because, I guess, small society, everybody will recognize you and, you know, you don't you're not able to run to a different state or a different county or province as you would in Canada and those other countries. But that's why I make